Standing and pray with me. Holy Spirit, please come as we grieve today the loss of our brother Eddie Mitchell. Lord, come and speak a word of comfort to our hearts, especially, Lord, be with those family members who grieve most intensely today. Lord, we thank you for Eddie, but we thank you most of all that we come together not just to remember Eddie, but also to remember your victory over the grave, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power of your resurrection and the hope your resurrection gives us for eternal life. So come now, Lord, in the midst of this time of preaching your word and bring a message of good news to us, even as we are in the midst of sorrow. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to thank you all for coming today to Christ Church as we worship God in the context of saying goodbye to Eddie Mitchell, and particularly Cass and Liz and Gabe and Dylan and Isabella and all the others in the family. We want you to know that we share your loss and we grieve with you today. Years ago, when my grandfather, Avon Sharp, passed away, we had his service in a church that he was not known in. And the pastor went through the list of names of family members and my granddaddy's name and everything, and he just butchered them. And so my sister was sitting in the front row with the family of me, and she's hunched over like this, and I could hear people, and she's shaking, just shaking like that. And I could hear people saying, "Oh gosh, she's just weeping, she's weeping." No, she was laughing, gales of laughter. So I hope you can weep and also laugh, gales of laughter, in my faux pas at the beginning of the service. Check your notes before you begin a service. That's what we learned today. The purpose of a sermon at a funeral is actually to proclaim the good news of the victory of Jesus Christ over sin, death, and the grave in the context of the loss of a loved one, in the context in particular in a Christian setting, and the loss of a Christian disciple to death. And so we want to proclaim the good news today, the good news of Jesus Christ in the face of death. And Eddie has made that easy for me. He's made that easy. He's easy to preach for this morning. Eddie and Cass began to attend Christ Church 8 years ago in 2014. We lured Cass. We lured her here by being this adorable little church on the corner of Queen and Melrose with the green grass and pretty yard. And so soon she came, and then Eddie was shortly afterwards in tow. And from the get-go, it was as if they had been at Christ Church all their lives. They jumped right into serving and worshiping here. Eddie loved this church, and this church loved and loves Eddie. And we love you, Cass, and your family. Eddie was quiet. He was not given to chit-chat, and so he graciously let Cass take care of all the talking and the post-service socializing. He was just a generous man like that, and he would wait patiently, sometimes not so patiently, for her to finish her glad-handing and chatting after the service, and but he was always here, and he was always faithful. You know, as his pastor for now nearly a decade, here is the character. This is the character of the man that I came to know in Eddie Mitchell. First of all, Eddie was faithful. He was faithful to Jesus Christ. He was faithful to his family, to his church, and he was faithful to his profession. He was cheerful. Eddie was cheerful. I didn't write it down, but he was also dapper. Eddie was dapper. said, I wanted to look as good as Eddie did at his age, but I don't look that good now, so that would be hard. He was generous, a generous man, and a man of great integrity. And if you knew Eddie, you knew that about him. You also knew that and know that he deeply cared, genuinely cared for others, and that he was determined. Eddie was determined. And I think he became that kind of a man through three major influences in his life. And the first one is this, is Eddie did not grow up privileged. He did not grow up privileged. He grew up in and overcame great hardship. He and his brother were orphaned before they were 10 years old. They had lost both their mother and their father. And so Eddie lived with various relatives and other caring adults in his formative years. He had a tumultuous school career. I think he went to at least one military academy. Maybe more. We went to two military. Was Edwards a military academy too? So he went to at least two military academies, and I heard that they dropped him off at one, and by the time they got home, he was already back home. Tumultuous career in school, and he capped it off, and he wanted me to tell you this. He was proud of being the first person to successfully flunk out of the then New Page High School in Greensboro, North Carolina. He was proud of that. But at the encouragement of his principal, Page's principal, he went to summer school and he earned his diploma. And after that, he worked a variety of jobs in Greensboro. He was a hardworking man. And through grit and determination, he eventually received his undergraduate degree from East Carolina University. And then he earned his law degree from UNC Chapel Hill, where my dad earned his law degree as well. Eddie graduated from Carolina with honors. It was not for a want of intellect that his early time in school was tumultuous. I think it might have been boredom was one of the main culprits. The second great influence was, though, that he was loved and mentored by caring adults, particularly adults who were faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking in this case, there were many, but Dewey Navy Sr. taught him the art of negotiation, selling cars in Greensboro, North Carolina. And Eddie told me that story. He was when we had our conversations during the course of we have a catechesis program here called Foundations, and I was interviewing Eddie after that course, and he saw that as a pivotal experience in his life, learning how to sell cars. But it wasn't about selling cars. It was learning about how to negotiate with people and how to care for people in that context. And Dewey was his mentor and taught him how to do that. The greatest influence, though, the thing that bound all this together, it was the mortar that held it all together, was he was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And all of these influences led him to the practice of law. Eddie loved his profession. He loved the legal profession. He actually loved being at the courthouse. Now, my dad is still practicing law, kind of like Eddie. You know, the longest practicing jurist in North Carolina, I think, maybe. But he doesn't love going to the courthouse. But Eddie loved going to the courthouse. But, you know, in his love of his calling, his vocation, he modeled, and please listen to this, he modeled something vital for all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. His vocation as an attorney was his expression of living out Christian discipleship. Whether you work at Walmart or are a senior jurist, your job, listen, is the ordinary way you live out the kingdom of God in the world. Lay people, you don't have, oh, I have a church life and then I have a work life. Your work life is an expression of your Christian discipleship. And that was true for Eddie. I don't know that he ever articulated it like that. But that was, in fact, what was driving him. There is no separation between business and discipleship for the believer. For Christian believers, there's no wall of separation. There's no wall of separation between your personal and your public life. Your profession is the field of play for your faith. And you will give an account on how you embodied the truth of Jesus Christ if you are his follower and how you lived out your work life. And Eddie did well. He did well in that. I don't know that he ever articulated it, but he was just formed in such a way by God's grace that he lived out that truth. And I think that's why he loved his work so much as a certified mediator. You know, he was one of the first certified mediators in the district and superior courts in Forsyth County. He liked that part of his job. He loved bringing divided and sometimes even hostile parties together through mediation. And you know what? Jesus has something to say about that, believe it or not. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And Paul says this about the ministry of Christ himself in that context. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. In other words, those who bring hostile parties together are doing on a small and imperfect scale what God does for the universe. They are in, so to speak, the family business. Those who bring hostile parties together and bring reconciliation are in God's family business. Eddie was a feisty peacemaker. Eddie was a feisty peacemaker. In fact, his mediation sessions almost looked like hostage taking at sometimes. He would get people in there, wouldn't let them leave until they came to reconciliation. I could tell you stories that I've heard along those lines. That work of mediation, of bringing enemies together, is a direct reflection of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Whether Eddie knew it or not, his passion for mediation had its source in the reconciling love of God that governs the universe. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, "For there is one God," and listen, "there is one mediator." This is how the ministry of Jesus Christ, his work on the cross, is described for us in Holy Scripture. There is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Why did we need that kind of mediation? Well, Paul talks about it again in Romans chapter 5 in verses 10 and 11. He said, while we were enemies, whose enemies? We were God's enemy. While we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. You know, that's very critical to understand for all of us this morning, is that there is no neutral ground in life. We're either children of God by faith in Jesus Christ and as signed and sealed in holy baptism, faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, signed and sealed in holy baptism, or we are his enemies. There's no neutrality. The Scripture doesn't give us that option. And God loved us so much, the Scripture says here, while we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by Christ's life, by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Mediation. Reconciliation. You and I are gathered here this morning, celebrating the life, remembering the life, worshiping Jesus Christ in the context of the life of Eddie, who knew Christ's ministry of reconciliation. Eddie himself was a beneficiary of the good news of reconciliation in Jesus Christ. That means we can have hope and even joy in the midst of our sorrow and grief this morning, because through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, listen, God has made us who are by nature his enemies, his beloved children. God has made us who were enemies of Christ, his beloved children. Eddie is a beneficiary of the work of the great mediator, the great reconciler, Jesus Christ. And because of Christ's finished work of reconciliation, all of God's promises that we heard in Scripture this morning are Eddie's. And if you know the great mediator, if you know the great reconciler as your Savior this morning, these are your benefits as well. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? He has prepared a place for Eddie and for those of us who have sat in his in Christ's reconciling work, finished work. He's prepared a place for you as well. Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Thanks be to God. Christ has received Eddie and has taken to himself Eddie so that he can be where he is. And he's done it through his finished work of reconciliation on the cross. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.